Yeah, I don't think anybody has presented that in a more true way than Jesus Christ himself, that it's not about me. Even he said, it's about God. Jesus Christ, God himself, humbled to the grave. Selflessness. From the beginning to the end, his ultimate purpose was selflessness. And that is why we have hope today, because of his obedience to God and willing to be humbled to that grave so that we can have life. What a blessing. Thank you, Mel, for sharing this morning. Appreciate that. It was good to have you here the last two weekends again. And we just trust and hope that, I just appreciate your dedication to Malachi and just doing what's best for him. And, you know, God's grace is there for you to survive. God is good. God's sufficient grace. So, yeah, welcome to each one here this morning. Thanks for joining us this morning, Michael, all the way from Colorado. Welcome. But yeah, so this morning I want to look at joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I know I shared a little bit the other time. I shared on love, but I feel like, yeah, just even with being here in the Christmas season, joy to the world. The Lord has come. And what does that look like in our lives? I just want to maybe give opportunity at the end then. Somebody, if you have a testimony of joy, maybe even while going through a trial, joy isn't always expressed. You can't always see joy. But, you know, a fruit, I'm going to look a little bit at the fruit, comes from the flower of the plant that they grow on. And I think this morning, as we think about a fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit is the tree. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And what's growing on that tree is the fruit of that tree. And the more mature the fruit becomes, the greater the smell, right? You can about smell when fruit is ready. Some of them especially. Grapes are very much that way. If you walk past your grapevine in the fall, you know that they're ready when you can taste them as you walk by. What are people smelling as they walk by you? Do they smell the spirit of joy? Do they smell love? Do they smell the fruit of the Spirit? You know, I think we like to say we're filled with the Spirit, but what do people smell when they walk by you? The Spirit came to bring unity, love, joy. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples when you love one another or have loved one for another. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith. A few tips or just some things I read. True joy is the response of a delight to what God delights in. True joy comes from delighting what God is delighting in. True joy is constant. The definition of joy goes beyond the limited explanation presented in a dictionary. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. In other words, that's the explanation of joy, is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But what it's saying is the true definition of joy goes beyond what you can explain or what's presented. True joy is a limitless, life-defining, transformative reservoir waiting to be tapped into. When you have true joy, I believe it's exercised, and I believe as you exercise joy or any fruit of the Spirit, I believe it just becomes more and more evident, and it transforms us. And it's just waiting for us to tap into that limitless supply. Jesus opened that well for us, that reservoir, and it's there for us to tap into. True joy is attainable because it's not dependent on external circumstances. It can be, but it's not dependent on external circumstances. Joy abides within us, regardless of what's happening in the world around us. Nothing will kill your joy faster than complaining and focusing on the small negatives in your life when things are actually pretty good. I believe when we understand, and I don't, but when we understand true joy, I think then and only then we can maybe even connect with scriptures that say, right, count it all joy when you fall into trials or temptations. Jesus endured because he saw beyond. He saw the joy that was beyond. He was able to endure the cross, despising the shame that was connected with that. He was able to endure because of joy that was beyond. I believe when we understand joy, we can rejoice and be exceeding glad when we're persecuted or reviled for righteousness' sake. I believe when we know what joy is, the Lord thy God, Zephaniah 3:17, is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And it's like, wow, if we would just realize that as we live our lives, if we live in a way that God is rejoicing over us with singing. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 18, though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How do we come to that? How can we express that kind of a joy in that kind of a circumstance without knowing God himself in a way that he is all sufficient in everything that we need? This is a challenge for me. How do we find that? Even when it seems like everything that you work for, everything that you labored with your hands, maybe even investments, the fold or the flock of the fold, everything seems to just fall apart, and yet, how can we come to that place where we say, I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation? When we have true joy, I think people around us will know and smell that. Maybe I should ask Leroy and Barbara, does that get easier? Or Ben and Elsie, you've been around a while. I know I smell the presence of joy when I'm around you, so how does that work? Anyway, I appreciate just when we can find joy, even when everything seems to be upside down. I'm going to look at Luke 2 this morning, which is the first place, I think, or in the New Testament anyway. I wasn't looking so much in the Old, but there is about 8 different scriptures here I have this morning that we're going to look at. But it talks about great joy. And I was blessed by just the different aspects that it talks about where it says great joy. So we're going to read Luke 2, 10 to 20. And this is the story of Jesus' birth, at least part of it. Luke 2, verse 10. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that wondered, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Here's an angel coming to the shepherds and bringing the good news. This is the first, how would you say, I bring you good tidings, or I bring you the good news. Jesus Christ is born. This is no more awaiting anymore. This has happened. Jesus is born. And you know, the shepherds began to rejoice. They got excited. They ran to Bethlehem to see this. And they had joy in it. And they began to proclaim it to all those that they met, that Jesus is born. And they saw him. And yet that's kind of seems to have stopped there. But nonetheless, it says they returned rejoicing and praising God. And I just think about when the first time that I got it, that Jesus is born, or that it registered within my spirit. When I got born again, this reality hit, and the joy that comes out of that. And is that still a joy in our hearts? I just love to think back at those times when, and yet, it's not about that. Am I still rejoicing in the God of my salvation today? Am I still rejoicing? Is it still exciting for me today? The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They saw Jesus in that manger, such a little baby, and yet they believed it was God. They believed, and it created joy in them, great joy. Then Matthew 2:10 is where the wise men had heard of this, or they saw the star, and they recognized it as a star of a king. And so in search of this king, and they come to Jerusalem. I'm just trying to imagine as they're traveling, it may have been daylight by this time, and they just decided to stop at Jerusalem to find out where this baby is. They probably expected that Jerusalem would know. And yet they come there, and it went like it did. But it says in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So as they left the office or whatever of Herod there, and they recognized that it's probably going to be born in Bethlehem. I just imagine they left, headed for Bethlehem, and as it was getting dark, maybe, I don't know, they all of a sudden saw this star again, and it just gave them exceeding great joy that they're on the right track, and it led them to the place where Jesus was. And his light is still today. If we follow that light, it will lead us to the place where Jesus was. And they came and worshiped him and presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But it created exceeding great joy in their hearts when they saw the star again. Sometimes we lose it. Sometimes we lose vision, or we lose our maybe focus. But just think about when we get that again, we again connect with the light, we connect to that star, it will lead us to where Jesus is. The next one is Matthew 28, verse 8. And this is where Jesus, it was after Jesus had risen out of the grave, the Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the grave to not sure exactly what, but anyway, as they came there, the angel answered and said, verse 5, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And then it says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word." But I believe at this point the disciples were kind of maybe depressed or afraid, hiding. I don't know where they were. But he said, "Go quickly and tell them that I am risen. And I'm going to come again and talk, or I'm going to meet them. I'm going to go before them in Galilee." But there was great joy in just hearing that Jesus is again alive. And I guess I just don't know the emotions and things that would have been going on in their hearts over this time. But Luke 24, this is also just, I thought it was interesting that, you know, we read at different times where it seemed like God hardened the disciples' hearts so they don't, like, get it, in a sense. But here in Luke 24, verse 52. Luke 24, verse 50. No, not 52. Okay. Luke 24. Let's just start in verse 36. I'll read that to the end because it says, As they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do ye thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not, for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And I love this next verse. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And I'm like, all this time, they just didn't get it. And God didn't, in a sense, want them to get it, maybe. I don't know. But here, like he says, all that was written had to be fulfilled, and this was what I was trying to say. And he opened their understanding. It's like, now they got it. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead to the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. What's the difference? The last time he was killed, he died. They all ran. They were scared. They got depressed. They went back to their old way of life, in a sense. Peter said, he's going fishing. What's the difference? Now he's leaving them, but they're worshiping him, and they have great joy. And they return to Jerusalem, and it's all because they now understand. They understand. Somehow they just recognize that all this was just part of the plan. They just didn't understand it before. And now he opened their understanding, and they have great joy in returning to Jerusalem without him. Do we understand the scriptures? And if we don't, God can give us understanding. He wants to give us understanding. He's not just going to one day just come and like, here, understand this. And yet he does. There's different times you read the scripture and all of a sudden the understanding is there all of a sudden. And it's just like, you just rejoice in, wow, this makes sense. And they were able to go back to Jerusalem with great joy and continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Next one is in Acts 8. We're going to start in verse 4. Therefore they were scattered abroad, because Saul was making havoc in the church. Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Here again, it's just as the gospel was preached, people responded to the gospel, and it was a cause for great joy in the people. And I guess even for the apostles, as they were scattered abroad, they still had that understanding, that hope of the gospel. They didn't go in fear, in a sense. They went preaching everywhere, preaching the word. And out of that, they birthed the new place or a church, or the church grew, you could say, in Samaria. And it caused great joy in the people there. And then Acts 15, we were reading this on Wednesday evening. I don't know for sure who Samaria was, but apparently it was somewhat Jewish. I don't know if Samaria is Jewish or not, but... In Acts 15, we read on Wednesday evening, even maybe 14, but it talks about where Paul went to the Gentiles and he began to preach the good news to the Gentiles. So in Acts 15, verse 3, as Paul was returning, he was at Antioch, and they were turning to Jerusalem, I think, because of some issues they had there with circumcision or non-circumcision. But it says in verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now all of a sudden, as the gospel is being preached to the Gentiles now, and they see that this way is open up to even the Gentiles, it made people rejoice, and it caused great joy. I'm just amazed that, or it's just a blessing to think of great joy is, seems to be where the gospel is being advanced, right? There's a lot of scriptures on joy, but there's not, you know, there was only like a few of these that it says it caused great joy or it was a cause for great joy. And it's always when the kingdom is being advanced. First of all, Jesus was born and Jesus died and rose again. And then it's just on and on here. And then we have Philemon. Philemon, verse 7. Let's see, is that before or after Hebrews? Okay. Philemon, verse 7. I'm going to start at verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Here it says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Here Paul and Timothy maybe says we have great joy and consolation. And I guess I was like, what would cause us to have great joy? Even as fathers, leaders, kings, whatever, just here Paul was, it was a great joy to him see the brothers refreshing each other. And I was like, what a cause for great joy. Do we refresh one another? Is there a refreshing about your presence here that would be a reason for people to have great joy in just recognizing that, you know, you're so refreshing to be around? Are we refreshing to be around? And it caused great joy in Paul and Timothy to see that Philemon was walking in this. But it was because of a truth knowing in his heart who God was and what he does. A few more here. Let's see, 3 John. Third John, verse 1 to 4. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. For I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Can we cause God any greater joy than to walk in the truth that he has given us when he sees us reading and being obedient to the truth? I believe there's no greater joy in Jesus Christ than to see that we walk in truth. Or as a parent, when you see your children walking in truth, as John here, he was just an elder and seen the church walking in truth, there's no greater joy. Can we be that to God, that he would look at us and say, there is no greater joy that I have than to see my children walking in truth? Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Do we find a fullness of joy being in the presence of God? It says, at thy right hand there is pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Never to quit. All right, I'm gonna open it up here. Somebody has a testimony of, like I said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What does that look like? Maybe you have walked through this. Maybe you have been in a time where you were in a trial, and yet you experienced joy. And I don't, just because you're sad or you appear to be sad doesn't mean you don't have joy. And I believe joy is not exactly an emotion. It's something believed or something that is something that we're settled on or because of a truth that we're believing. But yeah, does anybody have a testimony that they would want to share with us on joy?
Yeah, I would, I guess my experiences over and over again is when, you know, maybe things aren't going right during the day, I might be a little downcast or discouraged by how things are going. But when I come to the truth, you know, what God says about Simeon and the love that God has, that causes great joy. Mm-hmm. Not focusing on having joy, but believing and standing on the truth God says.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I find that joy is a choice. It's whether you're thankful or mm-hmm. not thankful. That's always a forerunner of joy or not having joy.
Yes, I believe that. Okay, Joseph, Timothy. No? All right.
It just brings great joy to me to know that, like we sang this morning, and we also saw it in Acts 15, that Jesus came for the nations. You know, how would this be if he wouldn't favor my nation or my mm-hmm. culture or whatever? He came for the Jews and the Gentiles, and I can understand why that brought great joy to them. And then to think of that he came for all nations. Our King Jesus mm-hmm. came for every nation on the earth, mm-hmm. and that motivates me. That brings me great joy.
Mary Fisher.
Yeah, I have found that just in my low times, if I just spend time reading God's word and just spending time in his presence and just soaking up his word and his truth and just letting it minister to my spirit, it just mm-hmm. brings great joy. Mm-hmm. And so often it has just lifted my spirits. If I just spend time basking in his presence, it just brings joy.
Washing with the water of the word. He washes us with his word. It washes us.
Yeah, one verse that often comes to me is the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that has been a comfort. And I had times where joy just came out of the blue, like my heart was just filled with joy, and I didn't even really know why. Something shifted in heaven, that someone was praying, or God answered my prayer or something, and I'm like, where did this come from? But I believe it's also from believing, having faith, and knowing who God is. Our circumstances does not change the character of God or who he is, and I found that a lot. In low times, discouraged or uncertainty, just to remember who God is, that he stayed the same. And I like the term of tapping into the reservoir of joy. It's there, we just have to receive it. And sometimes in our lives, in hard times, we don't always feel like tapping into that joy, but it's available. So, yeah, it's joy is part of our fuel to keep us going. So.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, I had shared earlier this year how I was often feeling dizzy and stuff, and that was just believing God for healing for my health and stuff. And I definitely want to praise him, because I just feel so much better, and it just brings me so much joy that no matter what you're going, just to believe his promises. And so that was definitely a faith builder for me, just to believe what the word says, and to thank him how much better I feel, and it's that brings me great joy. So
praise the Lord. You know, joy is not dependent on external circumstances, but it can be a reason for. I mean, in Samaria, when they saw Paul healing and casting out devils, it caused great joy. And it can be, when we see God manifesting in this way, it's a reason to have great joy.
I can relate joy with witnessing a repentant heart of someone turning from evil. That was a number of years ago that my brother and I were on a hunting trip, and it was after I gave my life to the Lord, and I had just asked him about some things, and by the time the night was over, he was on his knees weeping and repenting, and I remember going out from there, we went out to our tree stands, and I just had exceeding great joy just witnessing, someone turning from wickedness and receiving Christ.
Praise God. That's awesome. Elsie.
Yeah, I had a great joy this week of an answered prayer to my nephew's daughter that was living a wild life, has now decided she wants to turn her life around.
Wow.
Praise God. So that was joyful.
Praise God. Wow. That's a reason for great joy. There's rejoicing in heaven because of that. Praise the Lord.
My joy needs to be restored from time to time. And I was looking for that scripture. I didn't find it. I think there's a scripture somewhere that talks about your joy being restored.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Psalms 51 somewhere, okay. Right? Restore unto me.
Anyway, then I found a scripture that says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I don't produce it myself. It comes from the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah, I just had to think when you said something that I totally right. You have no idea. We have our trials. But I can say, often I think of it, and yet I'm joyful. I feel joyful, and yet some things haven't changed. But I can just say it's all God that strengthens you as you go through trials. That doesn't take the joy of the Lord from you.
Praise the Lord.
So.
Praise God.
I think some of the greatest times that I've received joy is when I see how God answered my prayer in submission. Submitting doesn't come naturally to me. And when I do it out of obedience to God's word, it's just amazing how God answers his prayers. And it just gives you such joy when you know that God is in this and he's orchestrated to work through those in authority. And to just submit to that and seeing how God has worked has just often just filled my heart with joy. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that he is God and he's in control has just been such a blessing. And definitely I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. Does God actually joy over us like we do when we see our children walking in truth?
Amen. I'm so thankful to be here. We missed last Sunday, and she wasn't feeling good. But I go through puzzle books a lot, and if the words are hard to find, I ask Jesus to help me. And first thing I know, I find it. And then I say thank you to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, with everything we've been through, it's been amazing to see the more we put our trust in the Lord, every time we're in the hospital, the more joy, the peace we have. I can always tell where my spiritual life is during the time we're in the hospital. If it's in the Lord or if it's not, I'm a lot more stressed. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing what, if you daily seek the Lord and seek prayer through it, and the prayers that get answered, you can feel that. With being in the hospital, we can feel that there's the only way we get through it is through prayer and through God's grace. And that just brings so much joy to us, especially the last time we were in Thursday and we put a prayer request out. By Thursday evening, he had no fever, and it was just amazing to see the Lord work in that way. And I also want to take this time to thank you all. Thank you for the donation you guys gave us. We never expected it. So we really appreciate that. It means a lot. Shows you guys care. So we just thank you for that as well.
Amen. Amen. You're welcome. God bless you. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for these testimonies. That's great. I appreciate that. And again, you know, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. We believe that this morning. Praise God. All right, gentlemen.